Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent here with Craig. On this episode, we'll look back at the 1-1 week to finish off 2024 and start 2025. And then we'll look ahead to the Xavier and Villanova matchups. Craig, how's it going?
It's good. Good to be on the pod with somebody again.
That's
not
it.
Just talking void like last year.
Solo episode last week. So, you know, good for you to get a nice conversation with yourself.
That's right. You know, really get my thoughts out and send it out to the World Wide Web.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed the solo episode. We're going to start this week with a starting five. We'll start this week. The starting five will be your five keys to the season so far. So they can be good things, or they can be things we need to do better, or things we need to keep doing in order to succeed.
So far or going forward?
It's kind of like a keys to the game, if you will. Okay. But a keys to the season in that, like, some of them can be things that we need to improve on. Some of them can be things that we're doing well already. We just need to keep doing. Okay. Or it could be something,
gotcha,
something else, you know, a player specific thing, something along those lines.
Okay. I'm going to go with the good first. I'm going to go with our defense. We need to keep up our defensive efficiency. I think we're really tough defensively. We are very connected on defense. We talk really well. We communicate. We pick up guys. We are tough to play across the board. I think that's why have had such success throughout the early season here. My second thing is going to be three-point percentage, which is not so good.
Shockingly, that one's on my list too.
Important. I think it's going to be important for the ceiling of this team. We're never going to be the best three-point shooting team in the nation.
Clearly.
I don't think anybody ever thinks that we're going to be. If we're just proficient in it, I think we can be really, really good. Because look, we've shown we can win without it. So I don't think it's necessarily like the end-all, be-all. But imagine how good this team would be if we could make some three-pointers.
So 5% from three, not good. Is that what you're saying?
Not ideal. Not what we're looking for. I think Scott and Simi Walsh are going to be key to that.
And missing Brady Dunlap hurts that.
Hurts that, yes. My third thing is going to be turnovers. We've done a really good job of turning people over. I think we need to increase that, maybe more pressing. We need to get those turnover opportunities because we're so good in transition. So just try to take care of those quick opportunities. We'll get into a little bit later with Korea. And I think part of the problem is we slowed down too much. We need to speed that pace up. It helps us significantly if we can do that. I'm going to say free throws, which is always something to harp on. In close games, which we've been in a lot of close games, it matters. It makes a huge difference. And if we can make some free throws, the season would already be turned on its head if we could have made a couple free throws. And the last thing I'm going to say is not really a thing in the game, but more just like a theme, I would say, winning on the road. Last year, we struggled to win on the road. And I think it hurts us because the wins on the road tend to be quad ones, especially in the Big East. And they stay quad ones because it's a lower threshold.
Right.
Home wins are great. And they're important. I'm not saying you shouldn't defend home court, but a win on the road, like such as a Xavier, that's likely to stay a quad one win all season. Whereas a home win, they have to be in the top 30.
Could drop out.
It could very easily drop out once we get to quad two. So getting those, locking in those quad ones that are likely to stay quad ones and winning on the road, I think is a very important key for our resume for Mark.
I tend to agree with you about the wins on the road. I didn't have that as a key of mine, but I do think that's a very valid point, and that is something we've struggled with over the past few years, and probably why we find ourselves with lower net rankings than I think, you know, maybe we deserve, because the quads matter. So I, you know, you stole some of mine, but similarly, 3-point shooting is a key for us. I agree. I think, like you said, we're never going to be the best 3-point shooting team. Clearly that's evident, but making enough threes, right? Making enough where we're proficient at it. Like you said, I think you made a great, you know, point there. And I think that's going to be key, because 3-point shooting can win you games alone. And as long as you can use them, if you're down, to catch up quickly, that also helps.
Mm-hmm.
Something else you said, which is also on mine, was keep up the turnovers. Past two games, we've done a great job. Plus 10 turnover margin against Creighton, plus 11 turnover margin against Butler. You know, those are the numbers we're looking for. We want to keep those margins in the double digits, because as you saw, we didn't play that well against Butler. We still came away with the win. And part of it is because of, you know, that turnover margin. So those were two of mine. Speaking of margins, my other key was rebound margin. Keep up the rebounding. We have been very, very good at rebounding. If we can continue that, that's always going to be a plus. the more opportunities you get to score, you know, the more likely you are to make the basket, right? Mm-hmm. So the more offensive rebounds we get, the more second chances, the more times we have the ball in our possession, the more likely we are to come away with victories.
For sure.
My other two are more player specific. So one is Zubi being Zubi. If Zubi can have the Big East season that he seems on pace to have, right? Like, he's having a great season so far. If he can continue that throughout all of Big East play and be the dominant player that we think he is, it's going to be great for us. Last year, obviously, we saw with Joel Soriano, you know, when you have a big guy down low, it's great. You can get a lot of points to it, you know, from it, and you can get a lot of rebounds. We have other pieces this year, right, who are really sure. great complements to Zubi. So if Zubi can be Zubi, we're going to put ourselves in the place where we're in most of these games in the Big East.
And that plays into our rebounding, too, because Zubi's right. a huge part of that, so it connects.
Mm-hmm. My last one is Kadari Richmond getting going.
100% agree.
So Kadari, you know, it's funny. I didn't really know it until I looked at it. Right? Last year, Richmond averaged 15 points a game. He's averaging 10 this year, about 11, 10 and a half, which is higher than I would have thought, to be honest. Yeah. If you had asked me, it would have been not only that, he has scored double digits in every Big East game this season, except for Creighton, where he had 9,
huh.
which I was shocked to look at. So maybe he is getting going, which would be great. If he could get going to being the player, you know, everyone thought he was going to be when he transferred here, right? If he was the number one kid in the portal, like they talked about, if he can get up to that level, that's just another piece for us that gives us, you know, so many weapons at so many different spots.
I agree with you. I think Kadari is going to be a massive key to the rest of the season. I mean, much like the three-pointing changes our level in terms of the ceiling this team can go, I think as Kadari Richmond goes, it also raises our ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he has those numbers are true. I can tell you there, a lot of them are very quiet, and it right. feels not like that. And I think part of it is we all knew that he was going through this, and they're working on redoing his shot, and you can see it on the court. I mean, mm-hmm. he seems tentative, and he's I feel like he's overthinking it. And then there are flashes like the end of the Butler game where he just went into attack mode and just kind of let that all fall away and kind of was himself. And we need more of that. We need him to be confident in himself. When he's confident in himself, he can take over games. Like, he took over that game at the Butler game, and we need him to do much more of that going forward.
Absolutely. And that's why it's key for me. If he can get going and he can be the guy. He's never going to be the guy on the team, because Zubi is and RJ are going to be the guys, right? But if we could have three guys, if you will, right? A true three-headed real monster, yeah, this team could go extremely far. So that's your starting five for the week.
Good question.
You know, I try to mix it up a little bit. So let's take a look back at the long, long time ago that was 2024, which ended in not a happy manner. It ended with a loss at Creighton, 57-56. Back-to-back years getting jobbed on a foul call at the end of the game, costing us the win. Last year, well, I guess it was still 2024, but last season, they called a foul on them with 5 seconds to go to get them to the line, and then they blew a foul call for us. This year, very similarly, RJ drives the lane, no foul call.
We friendly don't, whistle in Omaha for
we don't win the game. The amount of calls that Kalkbrenner gets in Omaha is truly impressive.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point where it is, I mean, almost unfair. I mean, he does whatever he wants.
And there was a play where he literally, like, dove through the lane, knocked down 4 people, and the announcer was like, whoa, body's flying on the deck. And they were like, what happened? Well, what happened is the 7'2" guy speared everybody in the lane, and they didn't call it.
Correct. I mean, elbows everywhere. Listen, not every ref deals with 7-foot players all the time, although it is far more common now than it used to be. And by the way, just because they're 7-foot tall doesn't mean they get to play a different version of basketball. I mean, you saw it with Zach Edey. He used to get all the calls because, you know, he was tall and no one knew what to do. And now, I mean, not now, because it's been going on for as long as Kalkbrenner's been in college, but Kalkbrenner gets treated the same way. And everyone talks about how, oh, he's a great player. Well, sure, if I didn't get fouls called on me, I'd be a great player.
Best reputation any basketball team could ever have, the most advantageous one, is that the reputation they don't foul. Because Crane has a reputation that they don't foul. And once you get that reputation, you don't foul because they literally will never call one on you. If you watch that game, literally on every single screen that our guys set to go around, mm-hmm. the defender held on to our guy, and that's why he couldn't get around Absolutely. The screen. If you watch, like not once, every single time. And they're like, oh, they're staying so tight on him. It's like, yeah, he's grabbing his hip.
It's part of the reason Jay Wright was so successful at Villanova, right? They had the reputation, oh, Villanova never fouls. Well, yeah, it's because you never call the fouls on them. You know what I mean? That's how you get the benefit of the doubt. You're 100% right. That's a great point, and that's what's happening now with Creighton. And because Kalkbrenner's 7-2, he takes advantage of that greatly. So, absolutely. A disappointing loss for sure.
It was a disappointing loss, and it was – we didn't shoot well from three-point land.
Well, we shot – it was our better shooting performance for the week.
I know.
But we didn't shoot well at all. We shot 36% from the field, 22% from three. Those are not great numbers.
They're not. And we kind of slugged through and had a chance to win at the end.
-7 rebound margin, +10 turnover margin, like you talked about. Slug through it is a great expression for this game. This is a game we probably shouldn't have been in it at all, the way our team performed. I mean, they shot 42%, which is decent. 35% from three. This is a game where it looked like, oh, well, you know, we're playing really bad, but we're still in it. We could come away with a win. And then to lose the way we lose by a blown call, because of course that's what happens to us. It was it was painful.
To be honest, on the last possession when we were down one, they had the ball and we decided to play defense with about, 33 seconds to go or so. We got the steal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, we're gonna win. I had this hope, and you know I shouldn't have, but you know, I am who I am. So I was like, oh man, we're gonna win. And then RJ got a good look.
That first shot. I mean, I know you don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem.
I talked to Nick afterwards. He didn't have a problem with it either. Listen. Obviously, maybe I'm wrong because we didn't get the call on the second drive, although you're more likely to get a call on a drive with 13 seconds than you are with 2 seconds. You drive to the basket there. You got to assume you're getting fouled.
Right? They drove to the basket a million times at Kalkbrenner, and they did not get fouled.
Sure. But I don't know. The floater in the lane,
He had an open look. I mean, he was open. I don't have a problem with the shot. It didn't fall.
You know, he was open when he walked out of the locker room too. It doesn't mean you should take the shot.
Yeah, I think it was a good shot. Look, it just didn't fall. Sometimes they don't fall, and it happens. It is what it is.
That's fair. No, listen, I don't think it's a terrible move. I think I just would have preferred if he drove there. And listen, maybe I'm wrong because he didn't get the call when he did drive. Right? I mean, he did get a rebound, which never happens for us. How many times do you see that ball go the other way? We get the rebound on that shot. I'm looking at it going, we might win now. And then he drives the lane, gets fouled. Gets absolutely obliterated in the lane. I mean,
there's no doubt about the fact that he got fouled.
And then there's just a no call. And it's like, well, that's it. That's the way it goes. It was
a disappointing way.
Bad way to end the year.
To end 2024.
Made the New Year celebration a lot less happy.
It's true.
Talk about the good defense, though. We only two players in double digits for Creighton. Kalkbrenner, obviously, he had 16. Ashworth had 18. Ashworth, the free throws. The guy's just a monster.
98% is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard in my entire life.
What is his streaks like? Somewhere in like the 40s now, I think, or something like that. I mean, good for him, but that's just ridiculous. Not a bad day for us. Two guys in double digits. Zuby had 16. Smith had 10. Kadari had a nice game. 9 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. So maybe, you know. My fingers crossed. This is the start of something.
We're rooting for him.
This would have been a sweet win, though.
And it would have been a sweet win.
This is one that hurt us, as we'll talk about a little later, in the KenPom and in the AP and in the net rankings. But this would have been a nice one to have because a win at Creighton is almost never not going to be a quad one win.
Yeah.
So it would have been really nice to have, particularly with the struggles we've had against Creighton recently or forever, considering we've only won one game in Omaha ever. It would have been nice. It would have been a nice piece to, you know, to be like, okay, yeah, this team is going to go far. Look at where we've already been at. So,
no, I agree.
It is what it is. You got to move on. And we moved on well.
The ball dropped and went to 2025.
That's it. Flip the page. We're done. That dropped us to 2-1 in Big East play. Fortunately, we got the victory against Butler, 70-62. That brings us 3-1 in conference play so far. It wasn't pretty. This was another game where we kind of slugged through. But as good teams do, we found a way to win when we played poorly. 36% from the field, 5% from the three-point line, which is one three-pointer. We made one three-pointer in that game.
And took
21 of them. Lost the rebound margin, but a plus 11 turnover margin. So this is a game where you go, how did we win this? I don't know. But we did it because we're a good team, right? Good teams find ways to win when they play poorly. And that's the best explanation for this game, because there's no other reason we should have won this game.
No, I mean, you shoot 1 for 21 from 3-point land, you almost never win that game. The fact that we won that game is actually very impressive. As bad as we shot from 3-point land,
absolutely,
winning the game is insane. Pushing the tempo with the press in the second half really changed the game. And as we talked about earlier, Kadari really took over down the stretch and really was a game changer for us in really settling it down and really putting, you know, taking the reins of the game and guiding us across the finish line. I think that Butler game had a potential to be a really big problem for us, right? You lose to Creighton by one. It's like, all right, you know, it happens. You know, all of a sudden you lose to a Butler team at home.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. That's a problem.
And it would really be a problem. But we didn't. We came through. And
it was as ugly as could be. 25 points at halftime is rough.
The first half was rough. I mean, it was like brick after brick. They were like building a wall. There were so many bricks. It was like 11 to 11 with like 7 minutes to go or something ridiculous like that.
Butler didn't play well either, right? I mean, Butler's not that good of a team.
Right.
But and they played. They outshot us 39% from the field. They obviously outshot us from three. But they're not a great team, and they were. I mean, that first half, anybody would imagine that first half was brutal.
It was brutal to watch. But like you said, we got it done. And the end of the day, we're 3-1 in the Big East, and that's where we needed to be.
4 or 5 starters in the game with double digit points, which was nice to see. RJ had 20, Zuby had 14, Smith had 13, and Richmond had 11.
And again, we were second half team. Again, in the second half, like you said, the first half was gross. Second half, you know, we took care of business. We really did.
You got to get it done somehow. And that's how we got it done. Also, this weekend, nice shout out to the Big East coaches once again. They all wore sweaters in honor of Lou Carnesecca's 100th birthday. I thought that was a nice thing to do. I mean, we had talked previously about this happening, when Lou passed. But another nice gesture by the coaches. Some of them wore ugly sweaters. Some of them wore normal sweaters, but
sweaters abound.
If you're looking for the most hideous outfit in college basketball, I tell you to go look at the LSU women's basketball coach from this past weekend. Just Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's a treat. All right. Spotlight player of the week, Craig, since you're the only other person here, I'll give you the go ahead first.
Wow. I get to go first. Well,
it's an honor.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm going to go with the man, Zuby Ejiofor, 16-8 and then 14-8, the model of consistency. And in the second half of the Butler game, while Kadari took over very much down the stretch, Zuby had all 14 points in the second half. And he was also very dominant down in the second half there and helped us get to the victory, which we needed to get to. So I'm gonna go with Zuby.
Not a bad pick. You know, I think that was the layup. Craig, I think you took the layup.
I went first.
And that's an easy thing for you to do. That's, you know, it's an easy out. I'm going to go a little deeper. I'm going to give it to Kadari Richmond. More so because my hope is it propels him forward, but also because he did have a good week. 9 points against Creighton, but he also had 6 rebounds and 3 steals. He followed that up with that Butler game, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. Those are good numbers. Those are good stat lines for him. Particularly as you can tell, he's kind of starting to build back being the player he was last year. So I'm going to give him it this week. He's my spotlight player. We have a tie, which means we have co-spotlight players of the week. Two people in the spotlight player of the week.
All right.
No reason to diminish anybody. You can both be spotlight players of the week.
Plenty of spotlights to go around.
That's it. Zuby and Kadari, your spotlight players of the week. All right, let's look ahead to what is a very important week. I mean, they're all important weeks, but
it's funny. I said going in the car the other day, I said, you know, there's only about, you know, 15 more most important games, and then we get to March, and then of course they're all most important games then.
So here's the thing, right? You look at the month of January for us, and I have to say the rest of the month of January for us is very good. You look at this schedule on paper, there's probably only one game we could lose. Now, I do think there's another opportunity to lose. At Georgetown is actually a sneaky game. It's January 28th. They've been pretty good.
3-0 in conference.
That's another opportunity to lose. But you go through this matchup. This at Xavier game on Tuesday is probably the toughest game we have on our schedule in January. So that's why I do think it's an important week. Anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. Following the loss to Creighton and the win against Butler, we've taken a bit of a slide in terms of the net and the KenPom. So we're 38 in the net. Not terrible, but we are out of the top 30, which means we're actually not a quad one win when people play us.
Right.
At home.
Yeah. At home. 23 in KenPom. Doesn't sound bad, but we were 16, before that Creighton game. So not great to see. We're obviously the AP at the time we recorded this hasn't come out yet, but I assume we'll drop a little bit, but still get some votes. We won't be ranked, but we'll be in the category. The first game of the week is Tuesday at Xavier. 9-6 on the year, 1-3 in the Big East, though. So they've been a bit up and down. They're an up and down team this year. That game's Tuesday, 6:30 on FS1. They're coming off of a loss at Georgetown, as I just mentioned. Sneaky game, Georgetown. Pretty good. Their only win in the Big East is against Seton Hall. They did have probably the toughest start to Big East play. They played at UConn and then home against Marquette, which is about as hard of two games as you can get, short of being on the road for both. So, I think their record may be a little bit misleading, but they are truly an up-and-down team. We've seen it all year from them. They don't really have that good victories, I would say. They beat South Carolina in their, whatever tournament it was that they were in. But besides that, they don't – all of their out-of-conference wins, they win against Wake Forest as well. But all the other ones are against, the kind of cupcakes team. And they lost their big matchups, if you will. They lost to Michigan, lost to TCU, lost to Cincinnati, all out-of-conference. They lost at Georgetown. So this is kind of a weird team. Now, Zach Fremantle, who is probably their best player, was hurt for a bunch of those games. He is now back. He came back in the Georgetown game. When he does play, he averages 16 points a game and 7 rebounds a game.
Of course, just in time for us. Thanks for coming.
Naturally.
Come back like Friday next week. take an extra day. You don't need to
rush. I saw him return to Georgetown. It was great. Good. Couldn't miss this one.
It's like in the Creighton game, by the way. Ashworth. Look at his ankle gets like stepped on, flipped over in half. I'm like, oh, he's definitely out for the rest of the game.
He comes back.
Right back in, no problem.
Perfect. When he plays, he's a monster. I mean, he's been in college for 15 years, so we all know him. They're currently, when he's not playing, or even when he is playing, Ryan Conwell is a guy who's their actual, best player in the backcourt. He averages 16 points a game. He shoots 43% from three.
That's not good.
So we'll have our hands full between the two of them, splitting the court with, Fremantle down low and Conwell up top. This is why this game, I think, is tough for us. We haven't had great success against Xavier, although we have had some success against Xavier. It's a game where after the Creighton loss, you need a win on the road. That Creighton game was our first real road game of the season, and we lost it, right?
Yeah.
Now you come back, okay, second road game. You get a win, okay, check the box. You get a loss, and all of a sudden it's, who have they really played, A, and they can't win on the road, then how good are they really?
Yeah.
The conversation shifts to. So you want to avoid that, which is, another reason you want to win this game.
I think it's incredibly important. Like I said, it's going to be a quad one win. They're 62 in the net. They're towards the fringes of the bottom of the Q1, but looks like they'll probably stay Q1, and hopefully they'll win some other games when Fremantle's back, not against St. John's, which will keep them high enough in the quad one opportunity. So I think, like you said, I think it's very important. I disagree with you. I think the Georgetown game is the hardest game in January, but we'll get to that at a later date. But it is a very important game. Like you said, like I said, and before in Keys, I think winning road games is very important.
Extremely important. Now, they're not that deep of a team. So I think we benefit from being as deep as we are. They, like I said, we got Fremantle, they got Conwell, McKnight averages 10. Besides that, they've got a few guys who average right below 10. Swain and Foster average 9. But then it's a bit of a drop off. And to be honest, if you can really can listen, obviously they can stretch the court, right? Because they got Fremantle down low now that he's back, and they've got McKnight and Conwell up top because they're guards. if you can figure out a way to contain at least two of those guys, you're going to be in pretty good shape because they don't really have that extra other option that they can help get around your defense. And, you know, like we talked about, our defense is good. So if we can play the defense we normally play against these guys, I think we'll be in good shape. But a lot of it comes down to preventing Zach Fremantle from feeling comfortable playing in Cintas Center for the first time since he's back from injury. Yeah, we haven't had great success there on the road, but
just not many places.
It's been a rough few years. Okay, we all know. This is the game we got though. So Tuesday, first game of the week at Xavier, 6:30 on FS1 or in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you're out there, check out the Cintas Center. It's a nice place. The later game of the week is in. I feel kind of weird saying this because the words just don't seem right. But it's a bit of a more of a favorable matchup as Villanova comes to town. 10-5 on the year, though. Surprising 10-5.
It's a brave new world.
They've turned it around a bit. 3-1 in Big East play. That game's 7 o'clock on Saturday at Madison Square Garden on CBS Sports Network. They're coming off a two-game win streak. They beat DePaul brutally, 100-52. They also beat Butler. They'll play UConn on Wednesday before they play us. Their other Big East games was a loss at Creighton. So similarly, comparatively, we have that in common. And then they had a win against Seton Hall. So they haven't had a tough Big East schedule, even though they are 3-1. Their wins are against Seton Hall, DePaul, and Butler. It's three of the lower half teams for sure. They do have some good out-of-conference wins as well. They beat Cincinnati. Besides that, they don't really have any. But well, I mean, at the beginning of the season, it looked like this team was not going to be good, right? They lost to Columbia. They lost to St. Joe's. They lost to a Virginia team who's
we crushed.
They lost to Maryland, who's now ranked. But, you know, at the beginning, it was looking like, oh, this is not going to be the Villanova of old. But then they righted the ship. They went on a 5-game win streak to turn it around before that loss to Creighton, and now they're back on a 2-game win streak. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't say a favorable matchup for us, although this is a team that is looking like it shaping up to be a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big East.
Right, which is a team we should beat. If we're going to be a higher echelon team in the Big East, at home in Villanova's game, we have to win.
Yeah.
It's just we have to.
I think at-home games pretty much against everybody in the Big East – if we're going to be the team, with the exception of Marquette and UConn, our games.
Even so.
Well, listen, all the games we're going to, you know, on paper, if we're as good as we say, we should win. But games I think that we actually are going to win is a bit of a different story. Eric Dixon is back for them. He averages only 25 points a game, so not a problem. Don't worry about his three-point percentage either because he shoots 49% from three.
It's pretty good.
So that's decent, you know. Only a little bit better than our 5% last game.
He only makes one out of every, you know, two.
So. That's right. So, you know, Dixon's a problem. And he's going to be a problem. They also have Wuga Poplar, who averages 14 points a game and 7 rebounds. Poplar is a guard. Still averages about 7 rebounds a game, though.
Very good for a guard.
Absolutely. There's your backcourt, front court, right? Dixon, obviously a forward. Poplar is a guard.
I actually like the matchup. I mean, Dixon, you know, we know obviously he shoots 50%, almost 50% from 3-point land. He's a guy who can stretch the floor. I like that matchup though for us because Zuby can guard at 3-point line. He's absolutely a very good defender inside and out. So I actually, not that I'm not worried about Dixon. I mean, he's a very good player, but I feel very confident that Zuby can match up very well with him.
I think this is a game where Zuby could absolutely dominate. They're pretty small. They've got Bocci down low, who's 6'11", and obviously they've got Dixon. But outside of that, they're a guard-heavy team. So this is really a game where I think Zuby could step out and be, you know, listen, I mean, he's obviously already been our guy, right? We know that. He's, you know, been as dominant as he's been. This is a game where he could really take control, and we could run the offense completely through him, to the point where, you know, basically he touches it almost every possession. Just feed him the ball, let him get 30. This is a game where he's not going to have much resistance down there. I'd like to see that. I hope that's the way it turns out. We've matched up well against them in the past few years, to be completely honest. Right?
We've seen that. It's true.
we've seen kind of a transition.
Even when they were good
and we weren't that good, we've kind of turned the tide on that because our defense is really strong. So our defense being strong, with Zuby not really having as big competition down low as he's had in other matchups, I think this has a recipe for being a great start to the Madison Square Garden Big East play push for the season.
I love that it's on Saturday night, 7 o'clock. It's a great,
phenomenal great time.
Prime time, spectacular.
Just competing with NFL playoffs, spectacular.
The Garden will be...
I'm kidding.
No, I think the Garden will be buzzing. I think, like, you know, that Friday, Saturday nights are great for that.
100%. Look,
I'm a much bigger fan of that than the 12 o'clock noon game on either Saturday or Sunday.
A million. First of all, I joke about the NFL playoffs. It's not like either team in New York sniffed the NFL playoffs. But, yeah, no, I think it's great. It's a marquee event. It's Villanova, so you know the Garden's going to be packed.
Right.
It's got every making of being, you know, a primetime event. So let's hope that we step out as the team who dominates this event. Like
absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think, you know, listen, obviously, Villanova, St. John's gets a lot of play anyway. This could be, if we beat Xavier, we come into this game and we have a nice dominant win, this could be where people start talking about us in a bigger, okay, yeah, no, this team is legit, right?
Like, I agree.
Okay, now, all right, yeah, here they are.
But you got to win the Xavier game first.
But you got to win the Xavier game
first. If you just win the Villanova game, I think it's status quo. If you win both, correct, I think that might make the shift in that.
If we win just the Villanova game, we spend another week not ranked getting votes.
Mm-hmm.
If we win the Xavier and the Villanova game, we're going to be right at the top of the teams receiving votes. I don't know that we'll be ranked. We may be ranked.
But yeah,
Certainly going to be at the – we could be 26th. You know what I mean? Like, we could be a team who –
who's right on the cusp.
Nationally starts to get recognition around them.
Look, Zach Brazilla wrote an article about how the next 8 games, or it's a very soft schedule, like you talked about as well, in this month, and you got to stack wins. And this is the time to go on a run and really show everybody who we are. And these are games, like you said, there's really no game in the month of January. Look, there are some things that were tough at Xavier, at Georgetown. They're all winnable, though. Just because they're tough doesn't mean they're not winnable and we shouldn't expect to win. I think we're on a level as this team that we expect to win every time we go out, period.
Absolutely.
And we should expect to win all these games. And look, if we were to break off a huge run and go 7-1, 8-0 over the next 8 games, going to that Marquette game at the Garden, that will be a huge, huge event. Because at that point, if we win 8 in a row, we're definitely ranked. And I think we'll be in the top 20 at that point, and that'll be a huge matchup. It's still important, though. I think it's funny because if you look at the next – include the Marquette game in the next 9 games, I don't think that Marquette – we're going to get into this as we get closer to that game. That Marquette game becomes vastly important because, to your point of who did we beat, this month is good for us. We can stack some wins and solid quality opponents. But there's not that marquee signature win in this group.
No, I mean,
the marquee signature win can come if we were to beat Marquette.
The at Creighton game would have been our signature win had we won it.
Yeah.
Now, looking like at Xavier, you know what I mean, over this next stretch, could probably be our marquee game. Unless Providence comes, you know, all of a sudden breaks off a winning streak, or Georgetown continues to stretch their on. It's looking like that at Xavier game. Very well could be the marquee win of the month of January.
Right.
Because the Marquette game is actually in February. But yeah, of the month of January. Right. So like, and to your point, without that marquee, they beat, you know, X team, you don't get as much juice. And all of a sudden it's like, well, then you stumble in a game like at Georgetown, right? And all of a sudden everyone goes, well, hold on. They've only beaten the bottom part of the Big East.
Right.
So maybe they're not actually that good.
You want to leave no doubt, especially after last year, right? I mean, you take care of business in big games, boost that resume, and make it a no doubter that we're in the tournament and all that stuff, and then we'll go from there.
But I'm shooting for an undefeated month of January.
I would agree with you. Look,
on paper, it should happen.
On paper, we're good enough to win every single one of these games.
which is something we have not been able to say for years, by the way.
Never.
For years.
Yeah, you gotta remember.
I don't think I've ever been able to look at a month of the St. John's schedule and go, yeah, we should go undefeated this month. But this could happen.
We'll see. Look,
I said on paper. Listen, it's the Big East. I don't think it's the Big East. I don't know. Are we favored in that Xavier game?
I believe so.
If we are, I don't think there'll be a single game this month we're not favored in.
That Georgetown game, you have to see how Georgetown is.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, I just talking about right now, you know, obviously 2 weeks away. Right, if we're favored, I didn't look, so I don't know for sure. But if we're favored in the Xavier game, which we may not be because we are on the road. But if we are, there won't be a single game we're not favored in, which would be nuts, by the way.
Would be ridiculous.
ESPN has this as the 52% favorite in their little predictor thing.
Right.
I don't know if that – no, yeah, I didn't look at the actual spread or anything, but – imagine being the favorite in every game in an entire month. When was the last time that happened to St. John's basketball?
I mean, wild.
You know, maybe like the month of November.
Right.
But maybe not. Probably not, because we play in the tournaments now where you play legit talent.
That's true.
Or December, maybe, if without a Big East game in it. But
yeah,
outside of that, I don't know. I can't even think of the last time that would have happened. So should be an exciting month. Let's hope, fingers crossed.
Let's hope it's an exciting month.
Fingers crossed. There's not
starts a starts this now. Week. Starts this week.
Big week. Well, that'll do it for Craig and, well, for me. I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.